So we go to hour number three. It's a three-hour program. Nice to have you here. As we speak at the top of this third hour, I'm efforting Dan Wetzel via Zoom. I will find him momentarily. In fact, I've already found him. Meantime, telephone number is toll-free. You know this. If you want to hit me up on anything at all, go ahead and do it right now. The phone number is good in the U.S. It's good in Canada. It is 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now by a Yahoo Sports national columnist. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is co-host of the College Football Inquirer podcast. He is Dan Wetzel. He joins us via Zoom. Dan, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
Good, dude. You look great. It's great to have you on. Thanks for making time. Listen, before we get into what it all means, can I first get your reaction to the news that the PGA and LIV Tours, after hating each other's guts for over a year and a half, have decided to lay down in bed together and merge? What was your initial reaction when you saw that?
I think, like everyone else, was, you know, stunned, particularly because it happened right now. I thought, look, you get into a business fight, basically a hostile takeover, and prolonged legal battle with anyone who has more resources, considerably more resources, you're going to lose generally. Long term, they can just lean on you. It's like a poker game when you've got all the chips. And the other guy doesn't. So I kind of always felt, as much as the LIV product was inferior, people really weren't going for it, it wasn't exciting, no one wanted it. As long as the Saudis didn't lose interest in this fight, they would be able to just spend as much as they wanted. It wasn't a fair battle. The PGA has fiscal responsibilities. They have limitations. LIV was part of a $600+ billion fund, and so they could lose as much money as they needed if they're going to win the long term. But that said, to have it happen so quickly and not maybe at the end of the season, at least, you know, in the winter, I think was shocking to everyone.
Talking to Dan Wetzel, when you look at it that way, Dan, and you're right, when you look at those coffers, I mean, $600 bill with a B in that fund, I mean, could you make the point that this is what was going to happen all along? And not only that, LIV knew it and the PGA knew it?
Oh, I think we both knew it. It was just, how long could the PGA hold out? And it was kind of like, if they could hold out for 3, 4, 5 years, you know, do some of the players come back? Does the Saudis give up and just say, this isn't going to work? I don't know. That was kind of it, but they just crumbled so quickly. They just weren't equipped for the fight. And, you know, cause I talked to Koepka at the, Brooks Koepka at the Masters. And he really said the only reason he joined LIV was because he thought he wasn't going to get healthy again. And so this was his only chance to make a ton of money. He's basically taking advantage of them, and, you know, here's his chance. But now he's healthy and he wants to play. You could almost see the way he's sitting there saying, you know, I really want to get back to competing at the higher level. So there was hope that way, but it was going to be a long shot. You just had so much momentum behind LIV. But the fact, it's really the way they did it. They never really talked about that as much as they went this scorched earth policy of, you know, LIV is inferior and all of that, but also anybody who dared to do anything with LIV or have anything to do with the Saudis was, you know, their principles were unethical, and, you know, they didn't have morals. They didn't care. They were unpatriotic. They went very, very personal in the attacks against not just LIV, but anyone associated with LIV. And that was the way the PGA waged this battle. And so when you go down that line and you've basically said everybody who has anything to do with LIV, you know, is taking blood money and should be ashamed, and then immediately all of a sudden just 15 months in go, okay, we're going to take the money now. That's a whole different swing on this. I just felt like you wouldn't wage a battle that heated if you were going to crumble so quickly.
Right. So what happened? What changed? Because that was the battle. They did go scorched earth. They made it very clear, we are not about any of this. We are about freedom. We are about human rights. We're against torture. We're against sports washing. We're okay with all that. Where's the money? Like, what changed?
Well, I think they'll tell you that their financial situation was more precarious than they were letting on. They didn't have the money to really operate properly with the increased prize pool and some of the changes they had made, which in hindsight they just should have made originally. That's their original mistake, and then maybe Liv doesn't come along, although maybe it does. Whether that's true or not is hard to say. I mean, obviously they're going to do everything they can to try to make it like we had no choice. We fought the good fight, but this was inevitable. We had to do it. And that's how they're going to try to defend themselves against the hypocrisy charges. But we don't know that's true. But clearly at some point along the way here, they decided we're going to lose. Let's just make this deal now. Could they have held out longer? I would have hoped so. But apparently, you know, whatever. They made that choice.
Did they fight the good fight, or is Monahan, in fact, one of the biggest hypocrites ever?
Well, he's one of the biggest hypocrites ever. I mean, I don't know how you come back from this. If you think you're going to lose, like we were saying, if you think, look, this is inevitable. We got a snowball's chance. You know, we're going to give up in 15 months. You don't sit there last summer and have 9/11 families sending letters to Phil Mickelson and sending letter and protesting outside golf tournaments in the United States. And then use them as a PR prop to gain sympathy and to make points and things like that, and then turn your back so quickly. He talked personally about how he knew families that had lost people at 9/11. I mean, to go that route, to get extremely personal and basically say, if you're playing with Liv, if you have anything to do with these Saudis, you're dishonoring the victims, the families that are left from September 11th. This, you know, one of the worst day, maybe the worst day, certainly in the life I've had in the United States, and one of the worst in our country's history. And then turn. I mean, why are you invoking that? Why are you going down that route if you know you're going to lose? So he will always be hypocritical for that. I mean, even if you are pro Liv, even if you're like, hey, look, I don't really care who's funding this thing. There's Chinese money, there's Saudi money, there's this money, it's global. I just want to watch golf. That's fine. Those are your things. Even if you're in favor of that and are glad this happened, you'd have to look and go, God, man, that is some low dog stuff right there to go with. And then to use people like Rory, Tiger, John Rahm, guys that really aren't looking to be in the middle of big disputes. You know, Rory's a pretty reasonably just kind of get along guy, and to use them as the spear of your attacks back, kind of set up this Rory versus Phil war of words, battle, personality conflict. And then so quickly as they're going along with it, not only does Rory lose, but essentially you chose that he lost and you humiliated him. You know, it's like your corner man becoming the judge in a boxing match. And then, you know, scorecard says you lost. He's the deciding one. So to me, Monahan just he set these guys up. He used them. He used the 9/11 families, and then he caved very quickly. I've yet to hear an explanation on why this is acceptable. And I think it's going to be very, very hard for this guy to have any kind of credibility coming from that. And maybe that's just a casualty of a tough business battle, which happens. But man, it's a tough spot to fight back from in terms of public acceptance and player acceptance.
Especially player acceptance. We saw how that went for him yesterday when he got in front of his players in that room and tried to explain why he did what he did. It obviously did not go well for him. And I don't see how any of them could trust anything this guy ever has to say to them ever again. So when you look at it, Dan, who are the big winners in all this and who are the big losers?
Saudi Arabia. I mean, they basically own a sport. I mean, they don't just own a team. They don't just own an event. They own golf. There's a couple events now they don't have control over, but they control all the players that are in it. Ryder Cup, Masters, things like that. But they own it. They bought a sport, and a global sport, and one that's played in many of the most important markets that they want to be in. So undoubtedly, they are huge victors there. Mickelson. you know, he's a winner. His side wins. He's going to go back and he'll always have the bragging rights. You know, it's a little hard to say because you still had to make this jump and take the money. But if we're just looking at it, I mean, I don't know what they paid Dustin Johnson, but you know, there's offers of $200-300 million to go play for a couple of years and live, and then you just come back to the PGA. And they're talking, oh, there's going to be some kind of, you can't just accept them back. Well, we'll see. I mean, all those guys that gambled on LIV for the money and said, we don't care, we're going to take Saudi money. They got their money, or at least they got part of it, and they didn't really lose anything. You know, they played less golf, and now they're back in the PGA. They're back in the thing. And at the end of the day, Rory and Spieth and all the rest are going to take Saudi money. So nothing happened. So those guys gambling on it, I would consider to be the winners here too. And then conversely, we're talking a tough loss. So not only do you have the, hey man, I fought a well-meaning principled stand that I wasn't going to sell out, and then you sold me out. There's other guys on that PGA tour are like, man, I stayed with the PGA and turned down $200-400 million. Tiger might've turned down $700 million to $1 billion. And you gave up this quick. Like, maybe I should have just taken the money. So there's a lot, even if you get beyond the politics or the personal stance or the personal humiliation, a lot of money that guys could have jumped at and grabbed that they didn't.
And I don't know how you make it right with them. I don't know how you reconcile it with them. I don't know how you make them full, given all the money they left on the table. One last thought, Dan, I thought you made a really, really interesting point when you said, hey, listen, they didn't buy an event or a series of events. They bought an entire sport. They bought an entire sport. What's to stop them from buying another sport?
Well, I don't know. Not much. Yeah. And I don't even know if they bought it. They basically just shifted their stated investment in LIV. They're just going to put it into the PGA. I don't even know if they had to buy anything. They just changed their investment. So it was like, well, we're going to allocate this money, and now we're going to allocate it over here, and we got it all. They have the PGA, they have LIV, and they have the DP World Tour, which is a European tour. So they have pretty much every prominent player under their circuit. I mean, that's kind of the next thing. You sit there and go, well, when will Saudi Arabian interests own a number of Premier League teams. Could they ever own all the teams? Could one come in and buy an NBA team? You know, what is stopping this fund from, say, you know what, the Commanders sold for what, like $6 billion or $7 billion, and there's all this financing concern? What if they just came in and said, it'll pay $15 billion for it, right? Like they have that money, and we own the NFL team in the nation's capital of the United States, right there, Pentagon, right over there. I mean, the NFL has rules on, they will vote to say who can and can't own a team. But I don't know. Like this, all I know in this world is money usually wins out, and they've got an enormous amount of money, and they're interested in using it to broaden their economic appeal and use it as promotional effort. So I don't know what stops anything, but right now golf is owned by the public fund out of Saudi Arabia.
It certainly is. He is a Yahoo Sports national columnist. He is a New York Times bestselling author, co-host also of the College Football Inquirer podcast, joining us via Zoom. Dan, great job. You know, I appreciate you very much, and always good to have you on, Dan. Thanks for making time.
Thanks, Rome. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, dude, very much. Dan Wetzel breaking it down. All right. So another perspective for you. He's got a column up on that as well. You might want to check out, and I'd love to get your reaction to it. Dan Wetzel showing up for us like he does on Zoom, no less. All right. 1-800-636-8686. Woj getting some reaction, which I like. Amber in Portland writes, Romy, I know this isn't a Woj bomb or anything, but holy crap. Woj is one of the best to do it, including in an interview. His take on Spo is so spot on. I could listen to you talk to Woj the entire program. Amber in Portland. Let me just say that going to break. Those are two of my favorite journos ever. Those two guys, Dan Wetzel and Woj, are a couple of guys that I hold in the highest regard. You know this. Every time they come on, I end the interview by saying something like, nobody better. Nobody better. And I mean that about both of them. Woj and I go way, way, way back, so we have a friendship. The fact that he is who he is and works where he works and comes on this show speaks to that friendship. ESPN generally does not avail a lot of their people on other shows for competing networks. That's why you don't see very many of them on this network. Woj and I go back far enough, and I think Woj has a big enough hammer that he says, you know what, I'm going to do Rome. He and I are good, good friends. I'm going to do that once or twice a year, and he does, and he always shows up, and it's an amazing conversation. Dan Wetzel, to me, and I've said this before, I think that he is the most well-rounded sports columnist in the country. There's nothing that that guy does not write the hell out of. There's a lot of columnists in a lot of sports that are really, really sharp, really, really good, and I can run them down. I'm just saying this guy is really good at everything. And even the crime beat. I mean, everything. There's nothing that Wetzel does not dominate. And I knew he'd be great on that topic, and he was. And then there's some of you trying to weigh in, like Eric in Castle Rock. Still not making it better. He's trying, but he's not. This guy writes, can you give the clones the criteria for an epic smack-off call? Thanks. Izzy in San Diego. I mean, Izzy, I kind of went over this already when I did that player profile for Mike and Indy. But essentially what I said was, bring some strong takes, don't suck, set up your punchlines, knock them down, keep moving, no wasted energy, no wasted words, no wasted time, be efficient, man, just hammer, hammer, take, take, take. Set it up, knock it down. Set it up, knock it down. One line, one line, one line. Don't waste time. Delivery matters too. And Mike dominates in every facet. He checks every one of those boxes. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple, but not easy. And that's why so few people make it to the day of. And even fewer actually win it. And then the really elite few have won it more than once. A common mistake is trying to do too much. Mike knows. Mike is just, he's laser focused, or was, when he used to call the program. I'm not sure that we ever hear from him ever again. Hence all the conspiracy theories about what happened to Mike and Indy. I don't know. All right, when we return, if you want to react to that, go ahead. I'm going to keep hammering that phone number for you because I'm looking for the right call. The right call to get on the air, not only to make today's show better, but maybe somebody rips the golden ticket, gets into the smack-off. The smack-off is June 30th. Invite
the
only.
The smack-off.
It's going to be the 29th straight year we've done it. It is the single most important day of the year on this program. Invite only. Alvin, how is that world-class promo coming? Are you working that, dude? Am I going to get it before the day of? Okay, well, I get it before the week of. You won't commit to that, will you? No, no, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, good, good. I'll take that, yeah.
Yeah!
All right, stay with it. Don't forget, also, Matt Barnes will be joining me on the Jim Rome podcast after the program today.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of the first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you earned doubled. The cash back from trips, restaurants, all doubled. Seriously, though, see terms. Check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. All right, so some pretty good reaction. At Rich Kane, quote, it will be tough for you or any other show to beat the quality of guests on today's show. After listening to Woj and Wetzel, I feel like I have a much better understanding of the current sports events. By the way, the thought of SA, Saudi Arabia, buying other leagues, effing terrifying. That's Rich Kane. That's why I asked the question, you know, what's to stop them from doing so when they just bought the PGA? And his point was they didn't actually buy the PGA. They just kind of shifted assets. They move some of their investments around. There is a lot of money. A lot of money. Omnis, at Omnis underscore writes, so, did the PGA not want the golfers to go with LIV because that would give LIV more leverage over the deal that the PGA would eventually make? I mean, the defectors gave them leverage, obviously. If nobody defected, all they would have is cash that nobody is taking. And there might not have been a deal to make. So guys go over there. You know, what he said was interesting about Brooks Koepka. Like, everybody has their reason. First of all, you got certain guys who went over there and took the money because they know they could never make that kind of money on the PGA Tour. And they knew it. Koepka went over there because, as he told Dan Wetzel, my body's breaking down. I'm not healthy. I can't play that much anyway. I don't know how much longer I can play. I'm going to get paid while I still can. You know, and then he starts to feel better and he's starting to play better. And then maybe he wants to come back. Remember those reports several months ago that Koepka was having buyer's remorse and that he wanted to come back? Remember that? There was that story. And part of that was he was feeling better physically. Because again, nobody was saying that is such an amazing product. All eyes were on that product. TV ratings are crazy. That's not what that was. But LIV wins. Saudi Arabia wins. They got what they wanted. The PGA Tour. And in terms of the question, what's to stop them from buying other leagues or other teams? Well, frankly, they already are. Look at the Premier League. You know, what does that mean? Would they buy the NBA? Would they buy the NFL? Would they buy Major League Baseball? Not the leagues, but a franchise. You know, to Dan Wetzel's point, the Commanders. If the Commanders had a price tag of $6 or $7 billion, certainly there needs to be a certain requirement or a certain percentage of ownership approval. But if somebody comes in and this franchise is valued at $7 billion and somebody's offering $15 billion, are they going to say no? Hell no, they're not. You think the NFL owners are going to say no to an offer of $15 billion for one of their franchises? Hell no, they're not going to say no to that, even if it's in our nation's capital. And if they do say no to that, then they'll probably just up it to $20 billion or $22 or $24 billion And so the answer is yes, if in fact they would like that as part of their portfolio. There's so much money. There's so much money, and money inevitably wins out. And then when it didn't win out, and principle did win out, what happened to those guys? What does Rory have to show for that? Other than he got played by a guy that he really likes and really admires. Like, he and Monahan are tight. And it's incredibly, they're still pretty tight. Like, Rory, I think, would still tell you, yeah, I still like him. Yeah, but Rory, he used you. Man, he turned you inside out. I thought Wetzel made another great point when he said, Rory's not that guy. Rory's not combative. Rory doesn't, he doesn't want that conflict. He doesn't want to be fighting with Phil on Twitter. Phil, on the other hand, does like that stuff. Phil's pretty good at it. The two of them were still going back and forth even this past weekend. So again, if you're Rory, how do you feel? How do you look and how do you feel? And I'll tell you one more thing about this. Don't make the guys that didn't take the money out to be the bad guys. We could talk about what you think about the guys who did take the money and if that makes them smart, if they got over, if they won, if it was actually a brilliant business move on their part. We can have that conversation. But don't tell me that Rory's the bad guy for not taking the money. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was backing his tour. He thought he was doing what the commissioner, the leader of the group, was pushing them to do. Only to have that same guy stick a knife right in his back. And he used him all along.
It's hard for me to not sit up here and feel somewhat like a sacrificial lamb.
That's because that's what you are, Rory. Among other things. And a useful idiot, unfortunately. And you're not the only one. You're not the only one. So how do you make it right with them? Again, I don't know that you can. How do you reconcile all of this with them? How do you make it right with Rory? Who's going to give Rory the $500 million that he reportedly turned down? Not Monahan. Rory also said, quote, I still hate LIV. I still hate LIV. And they're not going to be let back in. Actually, Rory, I think they are. You're partners now.
I still hit Liv.
Okay. But I think you're wrong to think that those guys who went over are not coming back. I think it's pretty safe to assume they're coming back. Because the guys who brought them over are calling the shots. That's how I know they're coming back. You can hate Liv, but they're coming back. That's how they got over. I'm still waiting on Tig. Where's Tig? Where's Tiger in all this? Because, again, he may have turned down $700, $800 billion and was extremely impassioned about the whole thing.
What's that?
What's up, dude? What's up, Cat? How do you look and how do you feel today?
Yeah, last night.
All right, when we return, you know the drill. You know what I'm looking for. Question is, can you give it to me? Having a few issues with Twitter today as an app. Is it just me or are others having the same issues? So what I need from you, hit me up on email, rome@havetake.com. I've got an ATP section coming up next segment. ATP. It is Wednesday. Let's get some ATPs in here. There's some good ones. Time to answer your Ask the Pros question. You get to submit a question to me at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. It is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need quickly from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. This guy's funny. He writes, when a caller gets run, does said caller actually hear the LT? That's not a good call. Drop. Or does the phone just hang up, leaving the caller continuing his or her bad call into a dial tone? I'm asking on behalf of a friend who's thinking about shooting his shot. Don on the front range. First of all, Don, your friend, is going in with a bad attitude. You're expecting the worst. What do you mean you're asking what actually happens when somebody gets run? I'm thinking about shooting my shot. Now, actually, you're thinking about getting run and what it's like. And if you're thinking about getting run, you will get run. That's the wrong mindset. You're throwing off the wrong vibe. You're putting off the wrong thing into the universe. But to answer the question technically, oh no, your friend will hear. Your friend will hear. We do not disconnect you. You hear it. You hear yourself getting run.
That's not a good call. No.
You'll know.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
If you or your friend calls up expecting to hear that sound, they will hear that sound physically. You will hear the sound. So you will know that you've been run, and you will have the same experience that the rest of us will from a listening standpoint. We just can't hear you, but you can hear yourself getting run. It's a good question. You can hear Alvin dropping the hammer, mocking you, as we discuss why you got run. Oh, no, you'll know exactly what happened.
Not a very good call.
If that's your concern, well, how do I know? How do I know if I've been run or not? How do I know if they've run me and I'm just going on like I'm doing great? You may not know if you're doing great. That's part of the problem. But you will know that you got run. Don't worry about that. Do not let that deter you from calling the program. Yeah, but how will I know if I get run? You'll know. Hey, Don. What's the fun in me just ending the phone call and hanging up on you because you're not good? We get way more mileage out of clowning you and mocking you and dropping that hammer on you. We want you to experience that. We want you to hear that. Most would consider that a badge of honor. But if I were just to say, hey, Alvin, you know what? That's not good. Let's just keep moving. We go back to the phones. Yeah, and? Yeah, like that. Just a dial tone. No, my dude. Dawn's friend, you're going to hear it. So, dude, get beyond that. Stop expecting the worst and shoot your shot. How long are you, this is life. How long are you going to think about something before you actually do something? How long are you going to research something before you actually do something? How many times are you going to play this out in your head before you actually do something? How many questions are you going to ask before you actually take action? How much more info do you need to know? Pick up the phone and dial the number and say what you want to say. And then see what happens. See what happens. Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Right. You'll never know what's going to happen anywhere in life until you just show up. Just show up and see what happens. Show up and see what happens. Jim, what happens when one of your staff members makes inadvertent eye contact with you without your permission? I've heard that Ellen or other talk show hosts will send them directly to HR. Bill and Lincoln. Hey, Bill. Honestly, dude, do you really think that I'm Anchor Monster? Is that who you think I am? Hey, Tommy, why are you looking me in the eye? Don't look at me. Don't look at me! Hey, believe it or not, we have, like, a culture. We have a standard. No, we have rules. But not that many. You know, come in, work hard. Don't bring any drama to the workplace. Be a good team player. First and most important rule of the show is the show comes first. Take care of the show. The show will take care of you. I mean, how many rules do we really have around here? Four? Come in every single day with a good attitude. Work really hard. Get along with everybody. Be a good team player. And then the two most important rules. Do your job. Actually, that is the most important rule. Do your job. You know what rule we don't have? No looking directly into the eye of the host rule. That's not one of the rules. That will never be one of the rules. You don't have to call me Mr. Rome. You're allowed to look me directly in the eye. In fact, I would encourage that. I like that better. I like it better when you look me directly in the eye. There's one famous story that Alvin would like me to reset that I've told, and I don't want to mention any names. But, you know, back in the day, I had a guy who was a member of the XR4TI. And throughout the show, he just wouldn't pay attention at all. He had one of the easier jobs, so he exerted the least amount of effort. And in a way, many times during the week, I think that he just was not interested in the show and wouldn't even watch or look at me. He's just looking around. He's in his phone. He's doing whatever he's doing. And I finally had to say, listen, man, I'm not saying that I'm the funniest guy ever, and I'm not saying it's the best show ever, but I need a little bit of feedback, you know, because otherwise, and this was before a lot of social media, I really was just in a box and in a vacuum. And I don't want sycophants, but I know if the guys on the other side and gals think the show's working or not. I can read their body language. So we had a guy. No, Kelly, shut up. Not that guy. James Kelly's trying to guess. How do you know it's not you, Kelly? So we had this one guy who never, ever even looked at me during the show. And I thought it was disconcerting. That guy moves on. We hire a new guy. And I say to this guy, hey, man, do me a favor. Stay engaged. Stay engaged. Can you kind of look at me? Can you watch me? Can you react to me? Can we... So I know that the show's... That I'm on the air and it's working. And this dude just locked in. Locked in. Wouldn't blink. Like all 4 hours. Just staring right through me. And this went on for a couple of months. And I finally, one of the only times ever, ask anybody who works on the show, I don't raise my voice, I don't yell at anybody, it's just not how we work around here, because I have pros all around me. But this was one of the rare times that I kind of snapped. And I looked at this guy, I'm like, dude, stop staring at me, man, it's freaking me out. And I walked out of the studio during one of the breaks, and then the vibe was not good. And one of the other guys said, Alvy, the hell just happened? What's going on? He's like, dude, Jim told him, stop staring at him, man. So anyway, that goes back to the original question. Do I report any of the XR4 TRs to HR if they look me in the eye? No, I do not. I never report anybody to HR because I got an amazing crew from my left to my right. Alvy, Tommy, Jack Savage, the head, the bookers, Cindy, all pros. Everybody. Everybody. Nobody. Nah, we're fine. What else we got here? Hey, Rome, is the head going to have a big head bet special for the smack off? No, because there'd be a conflict of interest. Again, I keep telling you, it's bad enough that you already think that we've made our decision before the event. No, we're not. The only action that goes along with the smack off, as far as I can tell, is Stucknut's unofficial odds. And that's just for entertainment purposes only. For entertainment purposes only. He's not taking actual money. There's not actual action. Hey, Jim, when you are conning your vessel on the lake, do you use nautical navigation devices such as sextant and compass? And do you say things like port side and AFT, aft? Well, clearly not, right? Dude, I don't even know what any of that means. No. Aft? No, Matt, I don't. It's good war, though. War, are you fishing on a boat? I'm not about that life, man. I'm about the lake life and sort of about the boat life. There's a distinction between lake life and boat life. And I'll be transparent with you. Generally, I make one of the kids drive the boat. Even Dodger Jano is really good behind the wheel of the boat. I'm not saying I won't, but it's not my favorite thing to do. And I'm not saying, hey, man, drive the king. Drive the king. That's not my deal at all. I'm like, you know, kids are, right? They want to drive the golf cart. They want to be on the jet ski. Hey, man, take the boat. Go ahead. Let the old man put his feet up for a second. Let's go to the phones quickly. There she is. Tracy in Phoenix. Tracy, what's going on?
Hey, Jim, how you doing, man?
Good, Tracy. How are you? War Lady
Clones. Good. Hey, I just want to let you know, man, if Izzy has to email you and ask you the criteria for an epic call, Izzy doesn't have what it takes. Sit down, son. Listen, we got to talk about Smack Off, all right? It is a freaking national holiday, just like the day after the Super Bowl. I want to remind all the clones, take the damn day off, get together with some friends, and enjoy the madness. I'm going to be traveling to L.A. Ray and S.A. is traveling to L.A. A bunch of us are going to get together, and we're going to watch the show together, and we're going to enjoy ourselves. So if you are interested in joining us in L.A., you need to message Ray and S.A., San Antonio, and ask him for the address where we're going to be meeting up at.
I love it, Tracy. You are the best. Tracy and Phoenix Racker, she's hardcore.
Racker.
She is one of the great clones. One of the great clones. As I mentioned, Tracy was so committed, she used to fly from Phoenix to watch Jim Rome on Showtime, her and her husband. So she is a hardcore clone. And she did find us. She was the one that found us coming off Radio Row. Tracy's the best. All right, so there's a smack-off party. She just said, you need to message Ray in S.A. if you want to know what the venue is and where they're going to be, because they're going to come together. She said it. It's a national holiday in the jungle. Watch the party. If you have a watch party, if you're an establishment, if you're a bar, if you're a restaurant, and you're going to put the smack off up, let us know that too. We will help you promote it. That's part of it. I got to admit, I'm hammering so hard. Get in. But I should be reminding you, get that day off. Because I understand that only 20 or so are good enough to get in. But millions can listen, millions can watch, millions can participate. Make sure you get the day off. It's June 30th. Get the day off. Check out the Smack Off. Smack Off number 29. Tracy, thank you for reminding me. Great job. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. My thanks to Adrian Wojnarowski, Dan Wetzel. So ahead today, I've got episode 270 of the Jim Rome podcast. We've not taped that yet. We're going to do so a little bit later on. Matt Barnes is my guest. Make sure you look for that. My thanks to the XR4TI crew, efforting tomorrow not only a beef segment, but hopefully another smack-off player profile, because we are on the clock. You are running out of time. Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. We'll be all over that, too. So have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.